Perhaps you wish to test your glory against mine. The chosen Zora speaking to a guard at Plainsworth who does not want to let us into the town. Good times. Hi all, welcome to Actual Play the Podcast. This is Band of Blades, episode 3, part 1, with Misha, Jay, Strash, Jen, and myself. This is mission 3. It is good times. We arrive at Plainsworth and get a not-so-warm greeting. Jen chastises Sean about using too many sword emojis in his tweet and that we'll run out of them. We do all our campaign actions and break out the good stuff, the clean gauze, as we said, and then get ready to go on Mission Diamond Anvil. There's also a real fun bit there where Zora tests out the Grinning Ravens a little bit to see what they're really made of, and we start up a new tradition. Enjoy this this little bit of campaign R&R before we go out back to face the horrors of the Cinder King.
Hello, welcome back to Actual Play Band of Blades. Oh my goodness, it's gonna be so awesome, or we're all gonna die and it's gonna be horrible. But one way or the other,
yeah, it's still gonna be awesome.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anything is awesome. I'm Sean Nittner. I use he/him pronouns. And I'm super excited to get back in. Maybe Zionova will go out on another mission. Maybe I'll be playing a rookie tonight. We'll find out. It's going to be fun.
Or boat.
How about you, Misha?
Hi, Misha B. She/her. I am also super excited. I'm your marshal. I get to decide which of you weird, lovely people go out on missions and go and do fun and exciting things and try not to get killed. Because I'll get very upset if you get killed. So
yeah, don't do it.
Yeah, that'd be bad. That'd be very, very bad. How about you, Jay?
I'm Jay. Pronouns are he, him. I will be the commander. I get to command all the things. And so I'm looking forward to that. I think tonight's going to be fun. So I'm excited. I saw all those swords in that tweet. And I'm excited.
There were so many. Jen told me I was wasting. Oh no, I've used too many swords.
It's true.
We're all out.
I have to tell you, I was reading that while I was at work and I just started cracking up something fierce. And all my coworkers are like, "What's so funny? Can we see it?" I'm like, "No, you wouldn't get it." And they're like, "Oh, fine, if it's something untoward." And then I show them the tweet and they're like, "We don't get it." I'm like, "I know, it's the best."
Low profile nerd humor.
Nice.
How about you, Jen?
I'm Jen Martin. I use she/her pronouns. And yes, I was also highly amused by the series of tweets from earlier. And that's the first thing I thought, where Sean puts out like a tweet with like 20 dagger emojis. I'm like, don't use all the daggers. We need them. Save them.
You're being a very bad quartermaster for using all the daggers.
I mean, I know. You're so right. I am in shame.
I will be playing the Lore Keeper and keeping of the lores. But not like artificial intelligence lore, like war lore. I've been watching Next Generation a lot lately.
The nice. Annals.
I approve.
Yeah.
Who's am I? Strash is next.
Hey, I'm Strash. I am going to be your GM. I will be playing the broken and the horrible monsters. I am super pumped because we missed game last week. So on one hand, I didn't have to do a second layer of prep. On the other hand, I missed this game a lot. I have to tell you folks, I am always super pumped to play with everybody here. And it's always a real treat. So I'm gonna double check in, Lore Keeper. Traditionally, we start with you reading the annals and telling us a little bit of what happened last time. Are you ready to do that this week?
Not really. I've been
slacking on your duties.
I know, I have been.
It's all good.
Yeah, but I can show you this cool ass page.
Yeah.
The dead. Cool. The names of the That's dead. I have a space to record what happened in the last session, but I've been bad about that because of school. But school will be done soon, and then I can get to the important work of writing down the RPG. History.
Can you tell us who died last time?
I can, yes.
Yeah.
I can. There's three names. So last session, we went on a mission to talk to our spy master in a town whose name I don't remember, but it was a town.
It was Carlsberg, I think.
Yes, you're right. And so we met, we waded through a river of dead, which was a fun thing. And no. the sniper
not fun
That was amazing, Sean.
Do not recommend that at all.
And then Misha helped keep, I believe, a Heartless and a bunch of hounds away from us, which was super awesome. I think she took some damage with that. But she made like a crazy trick shot, like firing a bow and arrow at like a bell from like a million yards away. And it was bonkers and very cool. So we met up with a spy master who gave us some intel, and we ended up deciding to go to the church and try and get like the secret intel that the spy master couldn't get to. And I, like, quite frankly, part of me during while we were playing that game was like, cool, if the spy master couldn't get it, what makes us think that we can?
Right, but right.
Anyway, we did is the thing, against all odds. And I will say that this part's going in the annals. My absolute favorite part of last session was when mine and Jay's characters are in the church in the stolen armor of the Black Oak guards, and Strash describes every other Black Oak guard falling down to one knee and like this cinematic like whoosh, and then fucking Render walks into the church, all 7 feet of him. That was amazing. And we didn't all die. None of us actually died. It was amazing. And then the secondary mission, we had 3 people who died, and I will tell you their names. We had rookie Silver Shifting Winds. We had rookie Neen Vishkarbu. And we had rookie Alexeyev Karyayevna. Okay. All passed away last session.
Glad we remember them.
Yes.
I want to say my favorite part of last session was when we're like, how do you assist on this? And you're like, well, my family was butchers.
Yeah. Yes. That was
awesome. Humans aren't all that different.
It's just like a cow. It's just like a cow.
It's anatomy.
Totally like a cow. So different.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All nice. Right.
Cool.
So that is what happened last session. Now, we came back, we had a back camp scene, which means that according to the phase rules, the next phase is campaign action. So, Sean, Misha, you and I.
For it. Marshall, what's our morale?
Our morale is 9.
Nice. That means we have high morale, which means we get 2 actions. My first action is going to be rest and recuperation. We got lots of people that were hurt last time, and we need to recover. But we're not just doing that. We're breaking out the supplies. There are medicines coming out. There is the clean gauze as opposed to the reused gauze. You make do. You make do.
You wash the gauze.
We wash the gauze, but right. But this is fresh gauze. Jen has disappeared. Fictionally,
yeah, grossed out by used gas.
Oh, sorry. Fictionally, the quartermaster is pulling out the stops. Mechanically, I am spending one of our 2 supply to boost the rest and recuperation, which means everybody gets to mark 2 ticks on their healing clocks. So for anyone who had level 1 wounds, you just remove it. If you have level 2 wounds, that will remove it. You have level 3, it's 2 out of 3. But Jen, before you mark.
Say, what if you have 3 and 2?
Well, let me tell you what happens to Raya first.
Okay.
And you can decide. On Raya's bed table, Albin the Mask, the Aurite Mercy, who is never removes their mask, is at their table. And while Raya is being stitched together, I think she's going to wake up in that Zemyati body wrap, because I read that the way you heal from broken ribs is with compression. I was like, well, of course. So the Zemyati fibrous kinesthesia tape is wrapped around her, around her ribs, to help them from doing more damage. And the Mercy applies their craft, transferring your wounds. So Raya gets 3 ticks. So you could completely remove your level 3 wound. You would still have level 2, but you know, with level 2, you're a doctor. You can get hyped up on drugs and ignore wound penalties. So anyway.
Okay, cool.
Everyone else gets two ticks. So all the people with level one should be fine. So that's action number one. Action number two is that I am declaring celebration for not only the sighting of Render, but the stealing of the plans from underneath his nose. Let's forget about all the people who died from the serpent of corpses, and let's remember that we encountered a broken and we live to tell the day. This will go down in the annals, right, Lorekeeper?
That'll go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So everybody gets to recover three stress with the liberty action.
Nice.
And I recommend that our two aurites, you can automatically boost one action for free. When you boost liberty for yourself, it clears all stress. So we have two aurites in the crew that both have noble. Sorry, you don't get this by being Norite. You get this by being an aurite with the noble heritage trait. But I think both of our aurite soldiers are noble. So you can clear all your stress instead of just three. The rest of us just get three. So
did I play Flavia Tirana last time?
You played Flavia, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'll clear all her stress.
Raya and all of the people from the first mission that didn't go on the second one should be totally clear of stress now as well.
Yeah, that clears Raya's as well.
Yeah. Zainova is still pretty stressed because she's just a walking stress ball. But oh no, she only has two. Okay. She was only at five. It's not as bad. I thought she had more. And Contessa, our sniper, should be able to clear all of it as well, because she's also. So yeah, that is our campaign actions.
Awesome. So once campaign actions are done, this is where I, as the GM, now I cheated. I actually asked this question in chat beforehand so that I have all the missions prepared. But this is where I would ask Commander. Are you advancing?
Yes, we are.
Awesome. So let's make the advancement rolls, and then actually I would ask you what your mission priority is. Let's do the advancement first. So the way that advancement works is this is the Legion pressing through the enemy to get to the next location. They're trying to like leave them in their rearview mirror, ride some horses, and GTFO out of Dodge. So as we established, Arrender is preparing to cross the Tigeria and end up in the Western Front. So you're going to get pincered from the left. And Blighter is actually ahead of you, cutting off mountain passes and kind of like having troops all throughout the lowlands. So what is your current pressure?
Two.
Awesome. So usually you would roll two dice. And this is like a standard roll. It's a fortune roll. Like you just take the amount of pressure you have. However, Zora is the Star of the Dawn. Zora has a special power that she grants to your legion, which reduces pressure by one for the purposes of advancing. And the way that manifests is the legion, for example, is trying to cut north, and Blighter deploys like several units of troops to essentially like cordon you and like attack you on the flanks. And Zora leads the charge. So you see her actually like moving forward, her crown of flames shining like a star. And like she cuts through the enemy line and provides like the impetus for the rest of you to push through a little bit easier. So you're going to be rolling one die. If you get a 1 to 3, you're going to get one tick of time. If you get a 4 to 5, you get two ticks of time. If you get a 6, you're going to get three ticks of time. You gotcha. Can't crit because you only have one die.
Right.
This is also where you can ask me to spend horses to reduce your dice.
Quartermaster, are you willing to spend horses to reduce some pressure?
Last time I spent all our horses and it did nothing.
Just a little bit. All right, here we go.
Perfect. This is the one time in the game you want to roll low. For those that have played Blades, it's a little bit like the engagement roll, right? So like usually you want to roll high, but this is a roll where you actually want to roll low. So, all right, cool. So you gain one tick of time if you will adjust the clock and reset pressure to zero.
Shosh,
mm-hmm.
Is there a way on the Roll20 sheet to track healing ticks?
I thought there was on the actual like, I thought the wounds had little clickers next to them. No.
Let's see. Maybe we can find it later.
FF's in chat, and we can ask FF. But I don't have a good answer for you right away.
No worries.
In the worst case scenario, you can either create a clock on any sheet, or you can just put it in the notes.
You could probably put it in by the harm itself as well, like in the description of the harm.
Yep. Yeah, I don't see it at the moment, but.
Am I increasing time? I'm sorry.
Yes, you are increasing time by one and resetting pressure to zero. So gotcha. Now at this point, you have basically like left the enemies in your rearview mirror. And so let me do this. Boop.
Nice. I forgot a campaign phase thing. Sorry.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Even though we did not dedicate an action to it, our laborers are still working away at that and that tuber farms. So I am going to increase the tuber clock by one, and it is almost finished.
Now, in a normal game, I would say, "Ah, Sean, I should remember to remind you." But in this game, I get to say, "That's your duty, not mine."
Yeah, I know. Well, I was going fast, but
I love jamming Band of Blades.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right, so we have advanced. So now I would say, Commander, what is your mission priority?
The priority mission is Diamond Anvil.
That is true. We'll get to that in a second, but usually it's the type, right?
Gotcha.
The type of mission that you want to prioritize to look for.
Assault, recon, those things.
Right. Yeah. That was the assault mission.
Well, actually, I think you said supply. That was because that's what I rolled.
Because I asked you for it.
All right. So, said,
give me a supply mission, please, Commander, please.
Before we do that, though, we need to do a very short scene. Something pretty interesting happens as you approach the town. So I'm going to read you a little blurb about Plainsworth, just so that everybody that's watching has a context of where the Legion is going. So the Legion is advancing to a town in the region. It's called Plainsworth. So Plainsworth was once a small, prosperous town, owing its bustling commerce to sitting on an intersection of several old empire roads. Situated in the heart of the Aldermark breadbasket, the bounty of nearby villages flowed through it until it was on the verge of becoming a full-fledged city. So this is like a town of several thousand people, like maybe 10,000, maybe slightly above. It's like a small town. It's not quite, you know, a full-fledged city in its own. Now the hushed tones and shuttered windows of the residence project a sense of growing unease. Its inns, streets, and alleyways have refugees trying to keep out of sight and families fleeing the Cinder King's advance. The town has a small garrison, its own well, and the crumbling but serviceable remnant of the old Tantari Wall made in the heyday of the Empire, providing a strong defensible position against any Western or Southern. They've erected makeshift fortifications and trust the hills of the Blackwood to protect the eastern and northern approaches. As a small provincial village, Plainsworth holds some of the Aldermani superstitions and dislike for old empire things, and this wariness may extend to the Legion, whose roots are from there. Mixed with some local problems, bandits are and retreating soldiers often take what they want by force. So there's like a lot of people that are coming to town that have been raided. And the populace is unsure if having a small, well-armed force is a blessing or a curse. So you folks are approaching this town, right? So like the Legion is coming in. You've got your carts, your half-finished Rutabaga project. You've got, you know, Zora riding flank. One of the things that happens is you're stopped at the gates to this town, right? Like you folks are riding in, you're kind of like looking, some of your scouts have gone ahead and like figured out like, oh, okay, there's some parts of this town that maybe we can like billet or whatever. And as you approach and the gates are open and you start coming in, the guards of the town are going to stop you. And you folks can tell me if you want to like role play a specialist or if you want to play like a commander or whatever. But what they tell you is there's this tense moment, right, where they look at all the Legionnaires and all of you, you know, you have your uniforms on, you have your gear, and they look at everyone and they tell you that the mayor of the town has issued an edict. She has said that all of the guns in the town are going to be seized by the city militia, and any supplies of shot and blackshot are going to be taken, right? And so like essentially there's like a guard and, you know, they're dressed. They've got like the symbol of Plainsworth on their little tabard. And they're looking at you and they're just like, yeah, our orders are to collect all the guns. And they're looking at you because you have to understand that there's like maybe 10 guards, maybe less. And they do not look like quality two people. So like you folks look a lot more like war-worn, more experienced. You look like a vastly superior fighting force. And there's basically like three people, two of which have spears. I think only one of which has a gun that are trying to look at you and be like, we need all your stuff. What do you folks want to do?
I think Marshall just kind of cocks her head at them and poor children. Do you really think you're going to get our guns?
We're supposed to. Is the Marshall what's the Marshall's pronouns here?
She.
I think they go like, I'm sorry, ma'am, it's our orders. You know how orders work, right?
Well, I'm very, very clear on how orders work, and I'm also very clear on the fact that the Legion does not give up their weaponry to anyone.
I think they kind of glance at each other, and one of them says, like, well, we're supposed to take the guns from inside the city. What if they're technically outside of city grounds? And there's some, like, murmuring between the two of them. They look a little bit nervous. And then, like, one of them kind of sheepishly looks at the marshal and says, maybe you can set up camp in the campgrounds north of the city?
I look at the quartermaster.
Quartermaster is sort of like scratching their patchy beard, pushes a bright red feather back and from his head and says, yep, good to keep the troops where we can see them. We'll take the north quarter of the city. And he sort of means that, like, we'll take the city as opposed to we'll take the area outside. But we understand there's maybe just a maybe that was a slip of the tongue. Who knows?
Maybe your Aldermani is not very good.
Maybe my Aldermani isn't very good. He's a Miati. Maybe his Aldermani. But he kind of says, yeah, we'll take the north quarter of the city. We'll park outside. I'm sure that's fine.
So I think, like, the watch commander tries to pretend that he's in charge. So he calls over, like, two people, and he tells them to take you where you're supposed to go. You're going to get basically, like, two locals that are going to march with the Legion through town. Are you folks going through town, or do you want to, like, circle north and then come in?
I will follow the letter of the law, and we will go around is my vote, because...
Commander's line.
Inside the city.
We could do a parade right through the town.
With our guns.
You're the commander. What are we doing, Commander?
Yeah, where do we go, Commander? It's your call.
We form up kind of parade style, and we march right through town. We take the most direct route.
Awesome. Right through town. So I think that there's like just a slight moment where the two of them are trying to get past the Legion to go outside to lead you around when you folks start going through because the commander gives the orders. And the two guards look like tentative, like they're just like, how are we? And there's this like moment where there's like a tisking noise and Zora herself leans down and says, perhaps you wish to test your glory against mine. And they just walk with the Legion at that point. They're just like, all right, we're going to go with the Legion.
Keep up.
And yeah, you know, that, like that's the end of the resistance.
Oh,
but
we've got an honor guard. How cute.
Oh, my goodness. Quartermaster, the whole time we're walking through, Quartermaster sizing up every single thing. Like, we can make use of that. We can tear that down and turn that into, I see some carts. There's like whole time Quartermaster sizing everything up.
Cool. So, like I said, a lot of the windows are shuttered. Every once in a while, you see like a kid that comes out, and like you see, you know, like a little girl pretending to march, and you know, like the mother grabs them and takes them back, like no, you know. It's this whole like the town has a little bit of a sullen feel to it, right? Like you get the feeling that once upon a time it was a bustling bustling acropolis. Sorry, not necropolis. My bad.
Totally different thing.
No, acropolis. So sorry, necropolis comes after the undead get here. Yeah. But the streets feel a little too empty. There's like a lot of you know, people in alleyways with haunted books, that kind of thing. So, so I just wanted to kind of give you a little bit of flavor and set up the political scenario in Plainsworth, which is going to inform the missions. And this is where I dramatically type missions.
Oh yeah, bump it and chat.
Oh, did I get it wrong, Sean? Was my command bad?
No, I think you got it right. Why didn't that go through? I think maybe it's mission. There we go.
All right, sweet. So there's a link to the missions that we're going to be looking at today. And so now I'm going to say, Jay,
yes.
How much intel do you have?
I think I have zero intel.
Okay.
Right?
We got intel from the last mission.
We got three intel last mission.
We got three.
Three intel, Jay!
That was the whole point of that mission.
All right, so where does that get recorded? Because I do not see that.
You just have to. There's not a commander sheet.
Okay. We can make a sheet if you just want to have one for if you. Yeah, I guess you do not have a role sheet for. Yeah, you do. You have a commander sheet. You can just put it in your. Actually, it says intel here. I'm staring at it. It says intel 3 right in your bio and info. Yeah.
Oh, over there. Yeah.
Speaking of things to track.
And you know what? I put that there.
Yeah, you did.
I know. I didn't edit your sheets, I promise.
Speaking of things to track, we're up to 10 morale. I forgot this. As part of Liberty, we get +2 morale. So our morale goes up.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, so we're...
So Commander, you're going to get four questions to ask. You're going to get right. One from the 0 list, one from the 1 list, one from the 2 list, one from the 3 list.
Okay.
So if you... do you actually have the PDF of your Commander sheet by any chance?
I'm looking for it now.
If you do, great. If you don't, I'm gonna relink it to you.
All right.
I should probably have the link open because I am.
Is it in the? So I have the full beta.
Yeah. Actually, if you have the full beta, just go to the it's like in the 118 region. I can like pretty much quote pages at this point. I've been staring at that book so long.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be in the commander section, so it's chapter 3.
Commander, rule commander?
Yep.
Okay.
And you'll see it. They look like little gray boxes.
I'm going to put...
there we go. I have
it. Put in Zoom the a link to the most recent version.
Cool. Yeah, do that.
So.
The only thing that's changed a little bit, Jay, with those questions is some of them now actually show you all of the missions. So, like, if you ask... What is the highest threat we'll face on a mission? Well, actually, on any of these missions is now the question.
Gotcha.
So a couple of them will give you a little bit more information. Nothing has been reduced.
Gotcha. And so I'm not actually spending intel. It's more like a rating. I have intel.
This is a rating. So because you have all of these maps, remember that when you stole the intel, it had ratings by Blighter and Render and all this other information. So what you're doing is you're using the information you have to deduce the answers to these questions is roughly how it plays out.
Yeah. Okay.
And you could spend intel later on to improve engagement roles or to guarantee special missions.
And usually the way that is in the fiction, so to speak, is when the undead realize that you know certain things about their plans, they'll change them. So spending intel is basically like playing your hand.
Okay. All right.
Oh, I know this. Commander's on page 117.
Yeah, it's
I know
it's,
that because I did page refs last night. For
yeah, it's 121 is the page with the questions, I think.
All right. So did I just run? So it looks like I get one from every box.
That is correct. So,
my first question is, what are two approaches we could use here on a mission?
Well, you're going to have to specify a mission. So if you want to tell me which mission you're asking that about, I'll give you some ideas.
Yes. The Diamond Anvil, the religious mission.
Okay, so Diamond Anvil is a mission where you're going to go up in the mountains, and looking at it, there are two main paths. One is you actually plot out a semi-decent route that's going to take you to the ledge of their activities. The other one requires a lot of grapnels and climbing equipment, because you could actually go up onto the mountain above them and then drop down.
Okay. My next question. Hmm. What's a challenge on this Diamond Anvil mission?
Cool. So you know that Blighter has assigned a very specific infamous to the mission. Its name is the Doctor. It's a crow. The soldiers have spotted it. It looks it wears a plague doctor mask, and it wears this like white leather coat that's like bleached. It has this bloody handprint on its face. It tends to make some pretty horrific stuff. So that's the thing.
So not only the doctor, but whatever creations it has with it.
Nice.
Not nice. Probably evil and gross.
I mean, very, yeah.
All of the above. I will try and keep the gross at about like a 5 out of 10, but there will be some fixed.
Oh, here we go. Maybe. What's the main weakness of the undead's position?
Yeah. I like that one.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'll give you three little factors you can look at. The first is you look at pictures of like Blighter actually has sketches of like the dig site, and you assess it and you talk to people about it, and you realize that one of the things that there is like areas that they've dug out that they haven't like reinforced or shored or added French drains to. So there's actually a bunch of pools of standing water. So those generate mud, and they can actually potentially be like designed to disgorge and like wash stuff away. So you could either use them to set up traps, or you could come up through the water if you need to. The other thing is that a lot of the mountainside looks like it was damaged badly by something, and you're not sure what, but like Blighter has like drawn in like structural reinforcements. But you could, if you had somebody with explosives, you could potentially bring down like sections of rock and stuff on the undead, eliminating like large chunks of them at a time.
Nice.
So those are a couple of things that you can think of just like looking at some of the drawings and the maps and stuff.
Okay. Okay, and then my last question. We've not encountered the Doctor before, right?
No, we have not. This is the first time you'll see them.
What special missions have we heard of at the location ahead?
So do you want to know in Plainsworth, or do you want to know at a different location coming up?
Let's stick with Plainsworth, because that's where we are, right?
No, yeah. So, like, if you stick around this town for a hot second, I'm going to tell you that there are three missions in particular, special missions that you've heard about in this area. Mm-hmm. One is that there is a town nearby that Blighter is capturing people, and she's using the town to, like, hold a whole bunch of people. So rescuing them would be really good for morale and could add some recruits. There is a... There's also a very famous knight who lives in the hills nearby called the Kingfisher Knight. He is known to be a powerful Zemyati heavy. He apparently retired to this region, but he's like moved to the hills and is a bit of a recluse right now. There's some stories that he may be cursed. It's not really clear, but if you could fix him, you would get a powerful Zemyati heavy. And last but not least, there is actually a piece of Legion history hidden nearby written of in the annals. The Tantari banner is the first banner that the Emperor gave to the Legion. And if you get it, it will absorb some morale loss from people dying. So that's the thing. Those are three special missions in this area.
Very cool.
All right.
That is very cool.
Questions answered. This is where I say, Commander, you should assign the primary and secondary missions. And I believe you already know what you're doing, so take it away.
Yes, the primary mission is the religious mission, the Diamond Anvil. And the secondary mission is...
I think it also had Diamond in the name. It was pretty cool.
Yes.
Diamond Tiger, yes. That was the supply mission.
I have this... In the book, there's this like random mission generation chart, so I rolled the names.
I mean, this is Plainsworth, home of diamonds, right?
Like, that's right, home of the diamonds.
Yeah.
Diamond's my girl's best friend.
Okay, I thought it was a local sports team, but we'll run with that too. So Operation Diamond Anvil. So this is the point where I say, Marshall, you should pick who goes on which mission.
Alrighty. So
for the record,
who do we need on a holy mission? What roles do we need?
Religious?
Mm-hmm.
So religious missions, we need an officer or a medic. Our medic looking a little peaky, so we're gonna leave her to recuperate a little more. But officer, you're up.
All right.
We will send the
ready, serve.
Sniper along with. Yes.
Sniper still wounded, or did she clear? Oh, she cleared.
Yes.
Yeah, sniper only had level 1 wounds.
Yeah, all gone.
Yep.
She should be in tip-top shape, actually, because she's...
Secondary mission is a supply mission, I believe.
Yes. So we will send the heavy and the scout on that one.
I think the heavy still has level 3 wounds.
Oh, I thought the heavy cleared some of that.
It would be 3 ticks to clear it, and I only gave us 2 ticks.
Ah, gotcha.
All right, so then, yeah, he would still have a level 3 wound.
Yeah, one more healing tick, and he'll be right as rain, but...
Okay.
I think both the heavy and the scout are probably out of commission until we...
Gotcha. Okay, then...
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, heavy and officer or a scout for the secondary.
Well, that's you want to send Zionova on the secondary. What's... Oh, then it means sending Raya on the
medic, yeah. And yeah, that's not a good idea. So...
I don't know. Primaries have been safer than secondaries.
Right?
I mean...
She's got a lot of wounds. She's got a 2 and a...
No, her 3 is cleared.
No, my 3 was cleared. I was gonna say I have a 2 on Rhea.
Rhea, sorry.
So yeah, I mean, there's like she's not in perfect shape, but like she can go.
Fine.
Your job is terrible. I'm sorry.
I know.
Your job is like, who do I want to send to die today?
That's right. Who will die today?
Yeah, it's your choice. Who gets to die?
Which squad goes on which mission?
So are you switching it up and sending Zainov on secondary and Rhea on primary? Okay. Yeah. All right. Zainov's hat goes away.
Our ravens seem to be doing well, so we will send them on the primary, and we will send the owls on the secondary.
Were grinning ravens on the mission last time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They kick butt.
They kick butt.
Major butt.
And they're all in really good shape because...
They are in really
good
shape.
And
they were promotions.
The owls
are soldiers on this mission. Damn.
The owls are really messed up. They're down to 2.
Yeah. You have to send a full squad. You cannot send a squad with less than 5.
Yeah. So we're going to have to pick another. The vipers or the lions or the stags.
Misha, you may have cut out your audio.
Oh yeah, you're
okay.
There you go. Now we can hear you.
So we will do the stags, and I will get names put in while for the secondary mission.
Cool. So point of order. Marshall? Who is in charge of the primary mission? Who are you placing in charge of the mission? Could be the sniper, could be the doctor, could be one of the soldiers. It's up to you.
I think we're going to do the sniper.
Okay, cool. So the sniper is on duty, ready for the squad to leave, and the squad is late. So now we're going to flash to what's happening with the squad. They're just late. But the squad, the ravens, all of you are preparing for the mission. Do you have any rituals the evening before for getting ready?
Oh, one of the members of the Ravens does. Not Grey Wafting, but Crimson Rising Tide goes and kisses that flame on the flag. The flag that's ever burning from Zora's fire because we kick so much ass.
I
think Smoke sees that and she follows up from trying to make it a tradition, right? Trying to make it a thing.
Oh, yeah. If we all do it becomes
right. This is what we do. Yes.
I don't know if the fire burns. If it does, you know, it's away. Who knows? But yeah.
I think there is a moment when you wake up and all of you are disoriented for a split second, and you realize that you are several miles outside of camp in your skivvies with like a single knife strapped to your chest. Yeah. And you have no idea how you got displaced multiple miles without anybody noticing. Who gets out of their bonds first?
This is one of the ravens. I mean, Flavia was the butcher. She's really good.
It's with true.
Knife, right?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jen, you think?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%.
And she's also got devil's own luck, right?
Yes, she does.
She's okay. The lucky one,
good,
right?
Because some good resists here. All right, cool. There is no problem. It's you just folks have to wake up ass early and jog several miles back to camp, finding your way in a random forest you've never been in. Who's like the scouty person that kind of knows the way here that helps you folks out? This is just narrative, so just jump in if you're feeling it.
Probably Gray wafting smoke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like Gray has maybe been here before.
Yeah.
Maybe been kicked out of some places before. School of Hard Knocks and all. Like
she's got two in scout.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
So cool. Yeah. And she was, from what I understand, a smuggler or something, right?
Yeah, she's got a criminal background.
Yeah.
So she did a lot of smuggling.
So maybe she was here. How good is her Aldermani? Just so I know. You can say she sounds like a native. I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it's rough. I think it's like street level, right?
Okay.
Enough to do all the criminal things, but
So not super. So very like lingo dialecty, like
right.
You know. All right, cool. So I love it. I think there's this moment where you know you kind of orient everyone. Like your butcher cuts you out. You know. She very rapidly like finds out stuff. Do you folks talk about anything on your way back? Like, is there any conversation?
Hell, did we do?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what's Aldermani for WTF?
Like, who got us this hammer?
I don't remember drinking that much.
And I'm. Smoke is doing an inventory over the last things she drank. She ate. Just announcing those things, trying to figure out what was it.
If one of those Plainsworth folks did this to us, I will. They don't know who they're messing. We're the Legion, you guys. We're the Legion.
I think like while you guys are all trying to like complete this mental inventory of like what did we do last night, what did we drink, Flavia gets very quiet because Flavia, if memory serves, is the one who
questioned. Yes. Yeah. Flavia understands.
Flavia is the one that was like, huh. So she just kind of looks and makes eye contact with every other squad member and is like, Zora. And in this really kind of like, duh, matter of fact kind of way.
Loves us. When you say Zora, so like, loves us. That's why she made our flag go on fire.
Zora loves challenging us and giving us opportunities for glory.
I think at that point, Crimson Rising Tide feels like this is a test, and like this is
clearly a test.
Yeah, so Crimson Rising Tide gets super serious. Like, okay, let's do it. Let's be the best. Let's kick ass. We're the Grinning Ravens. We're the best. Like, you know, let's go laugh in the face of death.
That's why we're here.
You're flopping crowing. There, sweetie.
Oh. Oh, wow. I mean, something to laugh at.
Awesome. So your squad comes jogging back. It takes a hot second to like as you're coming back to camp, by the way, without a doubt, watching you approach your camp where your banner is, with your uniforms neatly folded in front of it, is a very cross-armed Zora who kind of gives you like, oh, all right. And you kind of get like this weird, almost like she's both approving and entertained by all of you jogging back. And she just very calmly, like, stands up from the tents and saunters off. Nice. But as you put your uniforms on, like, when you put them on, like, the moment that you, like, fasten all your buttons and, like, get ready, the Ravens logo on your shoulders, like, briefly ignites for a second. Yeah.
Worth it.
You poke at Zora, this is what you get. all right.
Cruzen is a rookie. They have no like claim to fame, but they're taking all of it. They're like, yeah, I did that.
So Sniper, you're in charge. Your squad is a couple minutes late. They come shuffling in. You totally just understand their whole like vibe. They're like proud and happy and totally like into it, but they're late. You have no idea why they're happy or proud.
I like check my watch, look at them, look at my watch.
Zora duty.
I was gonna say I think Rhea is there, and yeah, Rhea is just like that was Zora.
Ah.
I love how everyone in the Legion is just like mm-hmm.
Checks out.
Checks. Awesome.
You're excused.
Oh, so good.
This time. Oh, you made it back. Okay. She must like you.
True facts. All right. True facts about the Zora.
So, Marshall, who is everyone playing? Because we,
Yeah, that's fair.
You get to pick not only who leads, but also who plays everybody.
Jin, do you want to continue playing Raya?
Yeah, I can. Unless right. Somebody else like super duper wants to, but I enjoy playing her.
Jay, do you want to play our sniper?
I will be the sniper.
Excellent. Sean, you seem to have a real rapport and grasp of Crimson Rising Tide.
I know, it's a bad choice. I should play a soldier, but I'm really excited about Crimson Rising Tide. Maybe I can get them to promote.
Leveling up some soldiers is a thing. Two of you have the like stone sigil.
I was gonna say I don't know how much I have done to the character sheet of Flavia. I think she leveled.
Her sheet is marked as soldier now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And yes. You gave her over the top.
And I gave her over the top. Okay, so she's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's playable.
And. I will take the Aurite Chevalier.
All right. Awesome.
Cool. Question about soldiers and bombs. Shosh, you said one of the ways that we could get in was if we blew up, or we could do a lot of damage by blowing up part of the landside.
But yep.
In order to have explosives, you have to have the Grenadier.
That is correct.
Ability. And that's a soldier ability.
That's so correct.
Can't take it, and our soldiers already took them. So nobody, we can't bring bombs. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. But so like one of the things is that it's on me to give you options like this, and then either the marshal can assign somebody with Grenadier, or you can send an officer who can then channel some stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's a bunch of ways to get it, but usually they're not just arbitrarily assigned.
Right. That's kind of what I figured. It's all good.
Are you playing a soldier though?
No, I'm playing a rookie.
Okay.
I'm playing Crimson Rising Tide because that's what my marshal gave me and I'm happy for it. But we do have two soldiers in this.
Yes, we do.
In this squad. I have to pick an ability. So what are we doing? What's Commander, which way are we going? Through the mud or through the mountains?
Through the mud.
Hey.
All right.
You were going to say that.
So I believe this is where I say someone should make an engagement roll.
Ah, that would be me. All right. So, I give you some the engagement roll. Mm-hmm. I don't make the engagement roll.
You do both, actually.
Yeah, okay. Are all of the mission oaths sworn to the Legion? Yes. Did we send incel? Yes.
We didn't spend incel.
Huh?
right? We didn't spend intel. We just used intel.
Commander, are you spending intel?
Should I? Should we spend intel?
If you spend an intel, we get an additional die.
You can if you spend intel now, so you have 3 intel total. You could either spend intel on this mission, you could spend it on the secondary mission, or the next time we generate missions, you can spend an intel to guarantee that you get a special mission.
Does knowing about the special missions, like what the third question that the commander used, mean that we can go on them next time for sure, or does that just mean we know they exist?
No, you just know that those are possibilities in the region. But what I will tell you is that if you spend an intel, you can tell me which one you want, and I'll do that one. Mm-hmm. Usually can only do that with spymaster abilities, but since the commander had a ton of intel and they asked the questions, I will grant you whichever one you feel you want.
Gotcha. I will spend an intel. All
right. Is everyone on the mission a specialist or soldier? No.
Nope.
Almost. We'll get there.
We're getting there. does any soldier distrust or not fear the leadership enough to obey orders on the battlefield? I'm going to say no on that one.
No. The Ravens have had nothing but good feels. Right? If you sent the owls out, that'd be a different story.
Yeah. Owls. Maybe.
All 2 of them.
Well, the owls right now are just like, didn't send stuff.
our required specialists not on the mission. We have the required specialists that we need. So that is 1, 2, 3.
2, I think. Are you spending religious supplies, Sean?
We have none.
Okay, so I think that's 2, Misha. Where are you getting your 3rd die?
Sorry, yeah, I brain fart.
All right, all good. I heard it. I didn't see it.
So
4. That's not bad.
Nice. First...
All right. Cool. So I'm going to describe the scene. There's this. As you folks come up on it, so this is like up in the mountains. You actually have to like backtrack south and climb up and go into the mountains. So this takes a little bit of time, right? Like this is not just like a casual afternoon stroll. And as you go into the mountains and you come up on this terrain, you know, you folks are sort of like paying attention and looking. And what it looks like is that once upon a time, there was like a shrine in a cave or something. But it looks like something damaged the mountainside and it kind of landslid down. And so the undead have been cutting down into the rock and the dirt. So this looks like an excavation / dig site. And to one side, there is a big tent set up. And there's a couple of tents. There's like one that's like holding some equipment and stuff. There's like a pen that actually has a lot of rotters and stuff like that in it. There's that standing water that we talked about. And what you see is that there is a protocol going on. There's 2 very large horrors, which are like multi-body stitched together Frankensteinian monstrosities, right? But these ones have been modified. Someone actually attached like large metal scoops to their arms and they're actually using that to like break through the dirt and pull it back. And then there's this like line of rotters that are pulling the dirt out and moving it backwards. So they're actually somewhat organized and they seem to be doing like a dig / excavation. As you folks watch, you actually spot the doctor. And the doctor is, there's like a, it's not a really good shot of them. Like you see them moving about and stuff, but like there is a section that the doctor has set up to actually work on things. And there is a 3rd horror that's being modified and retrofitted with like, basically what it looks like is like someone's putting like giant spiked maces instead of hands so that it can like punch through rock and stuff like that. So yeah, the doctor's actually like chopping things off and like stitching together like new hands out of like body parts and then like attaching metal to them so that they can be more efficient. So that's like what you folks are kind of looking at. What's the exact approach that you want to take in? Right? Like, do you want to attempt to wait and like sneak in? Do you want to go through like the water? Do you like this is basically like the classic get into camp scene. They're not aware of you at the moment, but something's going to happen because there was obviously a risky engagement role. Just what's your particular approach here?
I think Jay, you're sniper. Yep. So you're in charge of this.
Wow.
I know the power.
Wow. Jay's like, thanks.
Yeah. Can we just dynamite the whole thing?
We don't have explosives.
You had explosives, yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, we could try and rig a landslide without explosives. We could try and get up there in the mountains and like, you know, use leverage and things like that.
Right.
You could make a really impressive shot, maybe. I don't know.
Well, we're actually, I mean, I guess our objective here is to retrieve. Hang on, let me pull up.
Yeah, actually, let me tell you just from your notes. One of the things that happened is that, so Aldermark has two chosen that always appear together. They're called the twins. Mm-hmm. And this latest group, when they formed, they went to battle against the Cinder King. One of them was broken. The other one was wounded very badly in the fight. And Matiar is actually like a crafter god. They had a hammer that they had forged, and they were dragged off the battlefield still bleeding, and their hammer was lost. And one of the things that you found out from these notes is that Blader was doing research, and she found out that one particular faithful Aldermani squad grabbed the hammer, retreated across the river, and was trying to take the hammer back to like one of the large cities like Westlake or Eastlake.
Right.
But something happened and they were lost in the mountains 3 years ago and they never appeared. And she apparently figured out where the hammer was. So she sent people to go and retrieve the hammer for her. And so that's...
Gotcha.
That's how you know it's here, right? So like, it's a powerful artifact of a chosen, and she's like, you don't know what Blighter wants it for, but you do know they deployed like a pretty serious, like we're talking like multiple horrors, several units of undead, the doctor, right? Like there's a whole bunch of undead deployed here to try and get this thing.
Right.
So.
All right. So I think maybe the deal is to see if we can find where it's at, right?
Okay.
And maybe either get it or dynamite everything.
Cool. So does somebody want to give me a scout roll and I'll tell you what information you can get from that?
That might be me.
I think it is. Your scout's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, my scout's only one.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Shocking, but all right.
As the sniper, right?
Yeah. Most snipers are like scouts, right? Like they want to get into a position quickly and quietly. So I was just expecting a scout too. But yeah. What time?
Crimson Rising Tide's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Does Crimson Rising want to volunteer?
I mean, okay. I just want you to know, Crimson Rising, he's just a kid, right? So if anything bad happens to him, it would be a real shame. Meaning, if anyone ever protects Crimson Rising Tide, they get to mark XP. So just know that. If I screw up and you save my ass, you get XP.
Nice. If you're going to scout, I will cover you with my rifle.
Nice.
Awesome.
Are you giving me an assist?
Yes.
Awesome. Take it. Position is risky?
Risky, as per the engagement role.
And to make sure, because I'm stepping up to this thing, but Jay, it was your idea, as commanding officer, you are ordering us. I am going up there to find where the hammer is, where I think that where the hammer might be.
Right.
That's what you want to find. No. Okay.
That's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Rising Tide scampers up very quickly. Even though they have a regular load, it looks as though they're unencumbered as a traveler. We see all the tattoos that are of protection on their arms as they sift through the rocks and whatnot, and I'm gonna roll myself some scout. Risky standard effect.
Mm-hmm.
One bonus die.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Good times. So you basically go a scouting. So here's the thing. Your Crimson Rising, you're feeling pretty full of yourself, aren't you?
Oh yeah, very.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You gotta push your luck. I'll give you a hint. You notice, you're like, okay, you look around a bunch, you don't see anything. You like actually go jogging. You take like a good 15 minutes to go and look at the mountainside. You're like, okay, there's nothing there. It's like, you know, a mountainside. Then you like look at the camp. You actually sneak up to the camp a little bit. Seems like it's clearly not in the camp. They've set up the camp. They're lifting stuff. They're moving things around. But there's like the camp itself. It doesn't seem like there's like a hammer in the middle of it. And they're all like, you know, staring at it.
Yay,
and so you look at the actual dig site and you start seeing pieces of like buildings and like actual like architecture and such there. And do you want to go take a slightly closer look?
I mean, I think that one of the items in my equipment is Naive Hope. Just want to throw that out there. So, I mean, I think yes.
Awesome.
Gotta go find out what that is.
So there's this moment where, you know, you go in and you start looking and you realize that what they're excavating is a temple. And you recognize actually like the two cross spears and the hammer in the middle, which are the symbols of the twins. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, this used to be a temple. Something happened fairly recently because you're looking at the architecture and the architecture looks like it's been weathered, right? Like, so like the stones are cracked. You can see like that clean statue lines are like degraded and such, but this is buried. If it was buried, it should be a lot better preserved, right? Like it might be broken, but it should not be like worn like this.
Right.
So you're like looking at it and you're just like, okay, so they're trying to excavate this. And they've actually gotten pretty far. Like at this point, you're actually starting to see like signs of the entrance. You figure that they're going to be done within a day. And you're like, okay, the hammer's probably inside there somewhere, right?
Right. Makes sense.
Which is right around the time that, you know, you're just like, okay, I have information. I'm going to go back. I'm going to report. And then you turn around, you realize that you're staring at the kneecaps of that horror that is being sent in to like wreck the last several feet of rock.
Nice.
What would you like to do?
Nice. I'd like to run.
Awesome. I believe that you are now in a desperate position, which awesome. Is what the consequence is.
Cool.
Jay, you're, yes. you're tracking, and then it gets like real green, and you see like hooks on the back of this thing, and then you like click the zoom back, and you see that there's a horror, and you can't see your little trooper anymore.
Yes. That stupid kid.
Yeah, right? Sean, would you like to make a desperate maneuver?
Oh yeah, I totally do. I got a dot maneuver. I'm a soldier. I'm gonna push myself. I'm not a soldier. I'm a rookie. I'm gonna push myself for this.
Okay.
Because two dice is better than one.
Jay, would you like to mark a stress to assist by revealing your position because you assume the gig is up already, or do you want to hold that shot?
I'm gonna hold that shot.
Awesome, yeah. Rookie.
Oh, and of note, I'm not running back to the squad. I'm running up into the hills. So here's my theory. I see this thing. I don't know that Crimson Rising Tide is like has all of their sensibilities, but I'm like, you know what you don't have right now, asshole? You don't have hands. You just got hooks.
It's true.
You can't climb. You can probably tear the mountain down, but I'm going to go scampering up.
They have maces. They're not even hooks.
Oh, great. Great. You got maces. So I'm thinking I'm under light load. Technically, because I'm a traveler. So I'm just like grabbing handholds and just scampering up the side of the mountainside.
All right.
Out of reach.
So here's the thing. I'm going to give you desperate, but like I'm going to give you great.
Cool. Get away.
Yep. You sure. Roll this. You're scot free.
Yeah. Awesome. Can't go wrong. This is going to go so wrong. All right. I'm marking XP right now.
You should do that. Right before you die.
That's right. Right before you die.
Maneuver. Desperate. Great. Gozers. One bonus die from pushing myself. Oh, God. I cannot roll, but I got a four.
It's fine. A four means you do it.
Yes.
You're going to get away. But there is a consequence.
Yeah.
And I believe that you know what that consequence is. That consequence is called harm.
Harm, 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 harm.
Harm, harm, harm. Harm,
harm, harm.
So. Horrors are threat two.
Yes.
You are threat one. Yep. So normally you would take level three harm, but they also have scale. So you're taking level five harm.
Five harm. Now, let's parse that out. Taking level three because I'm in desperate situation.
That is correct.
One more because they beat me in threat, and one more because, that's how we get to five. Not,
But I think that you're light and dodgy, so I'm going to leave it at 4, which is still death.
Cool. Well, I'm light and dodgy with a shield. So,
So you want to say that the shield on your back absorbs some of that hit?
Exactly. So part of it is the shield's on my back. And so as it closes, I'm like, and I literally like unbuckle it. And so I'm like, it's still not good.
Awesome. Awesome. Three is bad. Three means that you can't act without assistance. So you're going to get pretty smooshed.
Right. But I can still also resist, or someone could try and protect me if they wanted to, if they wanted to get some sweet, sweet XP and try to protect me.
And I do like sweet XP.
Sweet, sweet XP.
Awesome. I mean,
I'm happy to make a prowess resist by just running, but I can also see the sniper, given.
Snipes, I'm gonna give you a choice. You can either make an insight resist or a prowess resist, because you did have foresight and anticipation. So you could theoretically like shoot that horror in its hand so that like it doesn't quite like land the hit correctly.
Right.
If you want to do a prowess resist, that's fine too, because this is the consequence of a physical action and harm.
I like insight.
Okay.
Insight is way more dice.
All right. Well then, roll them dice. It's 6 minus highest die stress cost, but you're gonna reduce the rookie's harm to 2.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is I can crawl back to you.
And also, you get to mark an XP in the wherever you want, because you protected this is just a kid. You have to understand this is like some 18-year-old running for their life. So
see how I rig that. I was just XP generating left, right, and center. Nice.
Yes.
So it costs you 0 stress and you are in XP like a boss. So what does this look like?
So I think Contessa holds that shot. And she's like, it's a kid. If he doesn't do the right thing, well, he earned that. He's got to work his way out of this, so I'll wait. And if he makes an opportunity, I will help him. But if he doesn't, then that's Darwinism. That's how that works. Right?
So what does the shot look like? Like, do you pull out a black shot and put in like a high caliber round to like shoot the metal away, or like how do you reduce the damage a little bit?
So I think if that's so, what I'm looking to do is cause more pain than actually right, because I'm going to put it right in the wrist. So that it's not swinging as hard, or it throws off the swing, so that it doesn't hurt as much. So if it's a high caliber round that I need to put in there, I'll do that so that I'm causing a lot of pain and shattering of whatever it goes through that thing's limb.
Awesome. So, that would be a normal ammo round.
Okay.
Which, by the way, we should all pick load and our gear. Forgot that step.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens, right? And so like you still get clipped. Like this thing would have killed you, but between like it hits your shield, and then when it like pulls back and like rips the shield off, it goes for like the killing blow. Like the hand gets displaced, but you're still probably gonna have some like bruised ribs, I think.
Yeah. It's all just cosmetic, but I kind of like the idea of making that sniper shot really cool. How about like just some of the rubble from its mace? From its mace smashing, like hits me, like I get clocked by the rubble, so that the actual blow I'm saved from by the sniper.
Yeah,
same mechanical effect, but I just like the idea that like the killing blow doesn't happen.
Right.
You scramble out of the way before it manages to get the rocks. Like it doesn't have a hand, so it can't like pick all of the like dirt and mud that comes with its like hand being displaced. So it just smashes its hands against the wall a bit, and you scramble away, and
doing that thing where like the ground is disappearing beneath me for a second because it's smashing. Going, no! I get this big old bloody mar on my face as this giant rock like cracked me in the face. Might be broke a cheekbone.
So what are you folks doing? What's the plan here? Person in charge, aka Jay.
So we got to move because I made that shot, and I'm assuming guns here are loud.
Yeah.
So our position's vulnerable. So I signal for us. Yeah, we have to. We need a new position. We got to move. But I keep my eye on the kid as we're moving because he doesn't know where we're moving to. But he should know that we are moving.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I think I for sure look back when the shot rings and if a signal is flared, yeah. I got great effects, so I'm fully out of their space. I think Crimson Rising Tide can catch back up.
All right. I'd like to move closer, but I'd still like to stay hidden cover as much as we can.
Cool. So I'm not going to make it too difficult for you folks to reunite. The undead do not arbitrarily scatter. They do notice that the shield fell, and there's probably like a moment where like the doctor picks up the shield and sees like, you know, the Legion crest on it and then like drops it and like looks around and gives a sequence of orders, and the undead reposition. You actually see some of the rotters go and start dismantling some of the scaffolding and stuff that they have, and they start setting up a perimeter with it. Like they start like putting it posts in. And if you watch long enough and don't act, they're gonna make little torches out of them.
Yep.
So what are you folks doing?
I think Rising Tide relays what he saw. He's like, the hammer's got to be in a temple. They're digging it out, excavating it. We just got to sneak in there, grab the hammer before they do. Lickety split. Also, I feel like I swallowed like an apple that's still stuck in my face. Is this swollen? And it's like, their face just looks like a comic book, like a Looney Tunes kind of, like, not to make the game silly, but like it's really swollen up. Like one eye is completely like pinched closed because of the, because it's so swollen.
Nice.
Can I do anything about that level 2 harm right now? I don't think I can.
Do you have powers that are related to it?
No, I have field dressing, which lets me do stuff at the end of the mission.
Okay.
And then first aid lets me remove level 1 harm.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's not going to help you right this second. No.
Okay. You can spend doctor to make me ignore the harm penalty for an action.
But you kind of want to do that like right before you need it because you have limited amounts of
drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I spending doctor or am I spending medical kit?
So the doctor, so medical kits are tied to your powers if you read them, but doctor uses the native, so like a heavy spends anchor to fight as a small unit.
Gotcha.
A medic spends doctor to give somebody like drugs and get them or like just bind their wounds or whatever, but you make them able to fight without wound penalties for one scene.
Okay.
So it's really useful. Like, for example, you still have I believe your level 2 harm is that wrenched shoulder. Am I right?
Yes. Pulled muscles.
Right.
Yeah.
So like your shoulder is kind of fucked up. So if you need to act and you need that shoulder to be working right then and there, you can take the drugs yourself and then you don't get the -1 D penalty.
Gotcha.
But right. Now we're like twinsies.
No.
You look a little rougher actually, but yeah. All right. I mean, you can just like also cinematically like clean out their wounds and like, you know, treat them with some of your medical supplies, which will make sure that they don't get infected and things like that if you want.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that I would tend to the injuries. I just don't know mechanically that I can fix those right now, but.
Yeah. You can make them not feel it, but you can't make them not have it.
Right.
Cool. So what's the plan? Are you folks going to stealth up until some other time? Or are you going to try and like go in guns blazing? What's the moves here?
So what's it feel like? Does it feel like we're found out that the gig is up, they knew we're here, or?
It feels like they're worried about you, but if you're watching them through your like sniper scope, I'm going to say that as a soldier, your guess is that they're trying to finish the mission before you.
Gotcha.
It feels like the gig is up in the sense that they expect that you're out here somewhere, so they're taking some like precautions, right. But they don't seem to have like a great plan or anything. They're just doing very basic things like setting up a perimeter and like paying attention, right? Like gotcha. they're not sending troops out because you haven't convinced them that they need to.
Nice.
Not that good.
Right. Like, there's a lot of ground to cover. You folks could be anywhere in the mountains at this point.
Right.
There's like, it seems that the doctor made the call to continue trying to finish the mission. What do you folks want to do?
We're moving in, moving up.
Okay. How are you going in?
I think stealth, quiet, as much as we can. Because I think the closer we are, right, I think it's coming down to assaulting that position, right? Okay. And so I don't want to get caught too far away and out in the open before we get there.
Okay. So you're trying to get as close as you can to the perimeter as fast as you can.
Right.
All right. So this sounds like a group scout. Is that sound right?
Right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
And are you leading, Jay?
I don't want to.
It will give you a lot of stress, but I don't know. You're in charge. This is what happens when you're in charge.
Yeah, you can send somebody else to lead it.
Just be aware that if you're like, doctor, you're in charge, then the doctor can lead the action.
Right.
And you can stay back with the sniper rifle. But remember that that's also a fictional position. This way, if they go into the temple and you don't have a clear way in, then your character wouldn't be there. But we could just pick up another rookie sheet if you want to play people on the inside or something.
Okay, no, that's fair. That's fair. Let's...
ma'am? Sir? Ma'am? Ma'am? Ma'am?
Ma'am, sir.
Ma'am, sir. Ma'am, yes, sir.
There really needs to be like a gender-neutral honorific there.
I mean, I think at least...
Officer is...
Yeah, officer, sniper. I will let someone else with a better scout lead, so that I can maintain my sniper position.
Cool. So you take up a good sniper position. You set up your rifle. Who's leading?
I mean, I was going to say I have stress to burn, but I have nothing in scout.
Remember that the person leading is not necessarily the person best at a skill. They're the person that is organizing the group and giving orders, right? So like the person who is best at scout will probably bail you out of a jam, but what you're doing is actually like assuming command.
Right.
Ignacio steps up then.
Oh, we've got a volunteer.
Didn't have to be voluntold.
Yeah. Well, Ignacio is every inch an Aurite, so.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, all right. What is Ignacio's title then? He must.
Yeah, clearly.
Chevalier.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Very important.
Tell us what Ignacio looks like here.
So Ignacio is like a little short guy.
Okay.
Kind of thin. But very, very full of himself. A little arrogant, little cocky. As well he should be. Kind of think Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can dig it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's wearing just kind of like a close-fitting hat. You'd think, like, normally there probably would be a feather, but it's a little impractical for the field. He understands that. It's fine. He misses the feather, but he stands on the field.
I love that there's another raven that actually has a feather in this.
Yes, I know.
Oh, no, wait. That was the quartermaster. Never mind. Carry on.
Yeah, she has dirty looks all the time. It's fine.
Quartermaster has lots of feathers.
Very colorful.
He steps up. He's like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to sneak in. We're going to get the thing. We're going to do the zoo. It's going to be fine. We're gonna crush it. We're gonna kill it. We're gonna bring it back for the glory, and it'll be beautiful, and it'll be war great. It'll be fine. It's gonna work out. Let's go.
Zora's gonna be so proud of us.
Zora is going to be so proud.
We are immortal. Yeah.
So I have a question here, just for squad purposes. Is Ignacio a rookie?
Yes.
The thing is that there are two soldiers in the squad and another specialist. How does everybody else feel about Ignacio volunteering to attempt to lead? Because like the soldiers are giving the rookie the look like you do understand that we outrank you. Sniper, what do you say? There's this little
Right, right. I think maybe that's part of the charm is that we don't realize it's a rookie because all the bravado.
Oh, I see.
Right? Yeah. Swagger.
Right, all the swagger.
That was swagger.
So a thing I want to see happen is Rhea doesn't care, actually. But Rhea takes a step forward and, like, taps a finger on the rookie patch. Doesn't say a word, but just taps the thing that says, this guy's a rookie.
Yeah.
Kind of chuckles, takes a step back.
Look, just because I'm a rookie here does not mean I am inexperienced.
The sniper says, walk that walk.
All right.
And Rising Tide's still a rookie, so he's not going to, like, trash talk at all. He's like, yeah, rookies lead this squad. That's how we do.
All right. Command doesn't care as long as the Ravens get it done. So
let's get it done.
All right, cool. So I'm sorry. This is just hilarious. Okay, cool. So shall we do a group scout?
All right.
Yes.
So Ignacio, you're rolling on behalf of all the rookies. There's this thing called a corporal roll, which means that as long as you're organizing the squad, you essentially represent them by rolling your dice. And then Rhea, I believe you're the only other specialist, so there's just going to be the two of you rolling, if that's cool.
Okay. So I'm rolling scout.
Mm-hmm. So this is also a question, by the way, where I take stock and I say, would your wounded shoulder interrupt your capacity to move here? And I think the answer is no, right? Like,
that would be my answer, yeah. I think I'm going to push myself because otherwise I have nothing in scout.
That's fair.
Right,
and that seems
one die is a lot better than zero.
This can, before you roll, is Ignacio any good at scouting?
It's got a one.
Okay, so Crimson Rising Tide doesn't roll because he's a rookie, but can I assist?
No, because you're technically part of the roll. This is just one person rolling on behalf of the squad.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so risky. Standard effect?
Yeah.
And do you get dice for rolling as a squad, or do you just...
Nope.
We all roll and take the best result.
You got it.
Awesome. I did terrible.
You take one stress from Rhea, and you don't do so hot yourself. Cool. So you folks, I think that there is a... So Jay, the plan was to get them amongst all the boxes and all of the equipment and as close as they can to their, like, picket line, effectively, right?
Right. I haven't rolled yet, though.
You're not sneaking with them. You are.
Okay. I'm holding. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Right. You've got your support position.
Right.
So there's a moment where, you know, like, you folks totally, like, are sneaking in. And you're doing fine, right? Like, your folks are actually sneaking like pros. Everything's going fine. There's a moment where you get to the, like, the watch line, and, you know, you see that, like, Walking Dead moment where, like, Ignacio, full of bravado, every inch and all right, stands up and, like, knifes, you know, like a rotter in the head, and, like, you know, like, the whole squad is, like, moving forward. And you're starting to get into position. Everyone's, like, starting to, like, take up a position so that they can actually get, like, a good fire line and everything. And right before somebody calls for, like, the beginning of an operation, the cliffside that is, like, covered in rubble and everything else explodes outward as, like, a horde detaches straight out of everything with a roar and starts coming down on the squad. So what is everyone doing?
I'm
in my pants.
Ignacio, every engine all right, full of bravado. Not so much anymore. They wore the brown pants.
I did wear the brown pants. I was smart.
Yeah, I wore the red shirt.
Welcome to your desperate position. This horror is about to maul the whole squad. What's it really going to do?
Can I suppress? I have sharpshooter. Can I suppress?
Hell yeah, you can.
Horror? Yeah. So I will push myself to unleash a barrage of rapid fire. To suppress the enemy.
Cool. So step one, mark one XP in your prowess. Step two, give me a shoot roll to suppress them. This will determine sort of how well you do at this.
All right.
I'll put it to you this way. when you push yourself, you can automatically suppress an enemy, but depending on how well you roll, you may be able to provide bonus dice to the squad or bonus position and stuff like that to the squad, right? You may take the situation from desperate to risky again because like this thing is getting peppered with your fire.
Gotcha. Nice. Am I shooting from a hiding?
Yeah, you are. And it's not aware of you. So you can totally add some ambush in there.
Nice.
And because you pushed yourself, you get the suppress, but you also get a +1D or +1 effect, your choice.
I'll take the +1 effect.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, let me put a little clock on the table then. Carry on.
Sure. So my shoot is 2. I get the +1 die for the ambush.
Uh-huh.
And here it comes. Well, now I've already done that, so here we go.
Yes!
I totally did not look at the roll because I'm busy trying to make a clock appear. But I'm guessing from everyone's really, really happy. Hang on. Here we go. So this is going to be the horror clock. I'm guessing from everyone's like super happy reaction that it was a good roll.
It was a 6.
Very good roll.
Oh, yeah. All right. Bring it in. Okay, cool. So this thing is suppressed, and I'm going to use the suppression fire roll as a setup for everyone. So you can take effect or position, and I'm saying that fictionally speaking, this is probably position. So your squad's about to go hot, desperate, and all of a sudden it gets rolled back to risky. All right, cool. So what's the squad doing at this point? There's this thing, it's all like, oh, it's got like 2 giant like digger arms. It's trying to like sweep them. And like, it's moving at like high velocity. This thing is like trying to fight some sort of Mack truck, right? Like it's huge.
Ignacio's gonna whack it. Ignacio's kind of a brawler.
Okay, so the squad's going to attempt to skirmish the horror. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't think that's a great idea, but...
But no, that's the position you're in, right? Like, you can attempt to run, you can attempt to drop back so that you can, like, shoot at it, but right now you're kind of near melee range, so, like, this thing is coming in hot. And it gets peppered, so it, like, stops, right? Like, it's, like, momentum, like, shifts because, like, green fire erupts from it. Jay, don't forget to mark a black shot.
Right.
And let me update the clock real quick. Okay. Go on.
All right.
Yeah, I think Jay's effect actually, although you pick standard, it should have been great because you pushed for effect on that.
I have marked it.
Cool.
As great. Good call, Sean.
I mean, this is what this was here for, was for us to come wreck it. Yeah.
Squad going in hot.
Rising tide's all for it. We're gonna, I mean, especially with our sniper at our back. I mean, how can we go wrong?
Okay.
Why would you say that?
so now I have a question. Doctor, what are you doing?
I mean, I'm gonna follow my orders. I'm not super excited about it, but
are you going into a skirmish or like this is up to you, you're a specialist, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I have other options really. So
you could let the squad take the brunt of it.
I mean, I definitely would probably hang back a step or two just because I'm more useful to the squad alive, frankly.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Legit.
Because like I'm trying to establish like, are you taking your drugs and going in hot? Are you just like dropping back and looking for wounded people to try and save them? Like, what's the plan here?
Yeah, I'm dropping back and waiting for a wounded. Yeah.
All right, cool. So if the squad acts as a group, only one of you is going to roll on behalf of the whole squad, but the whole squad's going to take damage. Now, this is where I might kill your soldiers if you don't roll well. You will act as a unit, effectively, right? If you're acting solo or as individuals, the horror has scale on you because it's just huge. But if you're acting as a unit, you're actually able to match its scale, which means that on risky, only 2 of you will die if it rolls a 4 to 5. Just saying. So who wants to roll this one?
Right.
I mean, who wants to die?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter who rolls. We all can die. Crimson Rising Tide is happy to jump in there. Shosh, do you think my broken face, my swelled up face, is going to affect this skirmish roll?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, your shredded side.
I mean, if I was trying to do anything that involved like using my eye, like having real, but at close up,
It's not like you're gonna miss the horror.
I don't think depth.
That's true. Your defense of it's the size of a barn is pretty decent. All right.
Yeah.
It does make it harder for you to dodge though, because you're kind of.
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know. Let's. You know what? I'm gonna say that. It's not gonna affect you right now. Okay. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
All right. Sounds good. Cool. So I'll roll. Put all the fates of our lives in my hands. Josh, you got a devil's bargain for me?
Yeah. You can hurt yourself some more. That level 2 harm is gonna spread to the point where, like, you know, you got shredded on the side. Like at this point, you're gonna start bleeding and the pain's gonna affect you and most of your physical actions going forward.
I don't think I want that.
Okay. Would you like a slightly different devil's bargain?
I was thinking, sure. I was thinking maybe attracting attention of others.
Well, that's noise. Already happening because this horror is making a lot of noise and there's gunfire.
Yeah.
But I think that I'll give you a different one, which is there's a hell of a lot of undead parts and undead around here. And in particular, you've been climbing through their all this stuff. I'm totally happy to give you a devil's bargain if you want to take some corruption.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a lot because there's a lot of undead goo here. And you realize that water is not clean. So I would say that it would be like probably 3 corruption.
3 corruption.
Yeah.
Yikes at it all. I know. I'm really good at resisting corruption. I'm marked.
Okay. Okay.
But it's a devil's bargain, so you can't resist on a devil's bargain, right? Yeah,
so I would just take it.
I would just take it. Jump in the... Yeah, let's do it. 3 corruption, jump in the water, and like feel it getting in my face. That's a bad idea. But I think, you know, but it lets me come up on the other side of the horror. I think I dive in the water and pop up all wet behind it and go to town.
Awesome. Jay, I will ask this of you. I don't know how much stress you have left, but you can assist by spending a stress here.
Of course I do.
Okay. Mark a stress. And we should take a break and find out who dies after we
go back. You want me to make the roll?
No, you're going to make the roll after the break.
Sounds great. All right, everybody. We'll see you in a few.
I clearly have way too much fun playing Crimson Rising Tide. Wow, even as he was nearly getting mauled by that horror, I was still laughing and also terrified, but this is good times. I love that move, just a kid, and the sort of trouble he got into and the trouble that the sniper had to get him out of. This was good times. What a perfect way to end this first half of the mission, just as the horror is upon us. And we're going to go into that temple and get Matiar's hammer. That is, assuming we survive this onslaught we're about to face. So join us for the next session and see how we do.